Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking outside, kind of a gloomy Thursday, but it lights up tonight. Little Caesars Arena, Game 6, Pistons, stave season continues. We can nerd out on the basketball, but I'm more curious just your buy-in level and your mood. Are you nervous? Are you anxious? Are you pumped? Is it, hey, house money even? I mean, John, if they lose tonight, the season's still going to be viewed as a wild success. Do you just go and go, hey, I'm just rooting for another competitive game where the Pistons can put the Knicks on the brink? What's your mood?
I don't think you're just rooting for that. I think
you want to win. That's my point. You put them on the brink in Game 7.
Yes, you want to force a Game 7. You want to stave off elimination. And I think you're going into it not just happy to be there. I think you're going into it with the expectation of winning this game, winning a home playoff game. And that can create a little bit of anxiety, a little anxious.
You expect to win tonight.
Expect to win, yes. I expect to win every time I go into a game. And
When are you suiting up?
Yes, well, I will. They will not, because it's playoff basketball, they won't get that far down the roster.
Okay.
But I expect our teams, just like I did when the Lions were playing Washington, expected them to win. Expect the Pistons to win tonight. And part of the expectation is they will have an advantage playing at home. They haven't capitalized on that advantage yet. And I expect that Cade Cunningham and the rest of the team, JB included, with how they played the fourth quarter, how he used the roster, how he used Dasar Thompson, that they will learn, that they will improve. And I think there's more room for improvement for the Pistons than there is for the Lake or for the Knicks. The Knicks are who they are. The Pistons, we can actually see throughout the course of the year, throughout the playoffs, getting better, doing things that they didn't do the day before. And that's what you have with a young team. It's what you have with young kids. And it feels like this is a correlation between a young kid and a young team that day to day, game to game, week to week, you actually see them getting better. Now they've got to capitalize on that. We thought they would be able to do that from game one to game two, where Cade was able to, you know, be the guy in the fourth quarter. We didn't see it then for a couple of games. And okay, unfortunate that they lost that game because of the, you know, part of it was because of the official. Just imagine how it would feel so much different now if they were up 3-2 versus 2-3. That's how close this is. That's how close this series has been. But now it's Cade going and putting back-to-back games together, back-to-back fourth quarters together.
Well, because we haven't seen it, I don't expect it. I certainly think it's possible. Every game's been so close.
One possession.
This has been a great series. Like, I think people around the country who've spent time watching this series have been entertained. They've been thrilled. Close games, nail biters, tough, physical, not perfectly officiated, we're well aware, but a really good series back and forth. I can't tell you that they're definitely winning tonight. But John, look what they've done in this series. You talk about growing up. Mm-hmm. It's a growth spurt.
Yeah.
Like, this is a growth spurt. You talk about like kids and young and like, I just saw this kid last year, and
little Jack. Now all of a sudden, we're like, holy cow, what happened?
248-539-9797. I do think if they win tonight, they will win the series. But I can't say with certainty they're going to win tonight. They haven't won yet at home. They haven't strung together back-to-back performances. I do want to see how the Knicks counterpunch in the closing minutes with Ašar on the floor, because you do not have to respect him as a shooter. They have to have a better game plan. Tibbs is a better coach than that. They got to have a better game plan that punishes the Pistons for having two non-shooters on the floor. I'm still doing it if I'm JB, because the defense outweighs the offense, the pros outweigh the cons. But having not seen them win two in a row, I expect to win tonight. I expect to be thrilled tonight. I expect to have a great environment tonight. I expect them to be in it tonight.
Well, expecting to win and guaranteeing a win is two completely different things.
Kind of a fine line there.
No. It's completely different. But that's the mindset that you have to have. I guarantee it's the mindset that these guys have going in. We expect to win. And when we expect, when you get to the fourth quarter, that Cade is going to manage the game the way that he did in game five. That he is going to find a way to be a guy that, whether you need 13 points in the fourth quarter or you need six assists in the fourth quarter, or it's a big rebound, it's a big moment, it's something that we expect Cade to do. And as this team continues to grow up, we thought that the first sign of growing up would be to be able to win at home. They haven't done that, but that's the next step for this team. They figured out how to win on the road. They figured out how to get a couple of playoff wins. So, okay, check that box. Now it's, can you even a series 3-3? Can you put all of the pressure, which I do believe most of the pressure is on the Knicks tonight, which is why it's hard to close out a series.
Well, I think if you win tonight, you win the series. Because then you go back home.
Oh, you expect to win the series?
If they win tonight.
So are you guaranteeing they win the series then? If they
what
win
are
tonight?
Doing?
Because that's the same semantics that you were just trying to pull on me.
John, if they get it to New York, that place is going to be a pit of anxiety. The Pistons have already won there twice in this series. The Knicks have already blown one chance to close things out at home, and they've blown five straight going back years chances to close out series at home. The Pistons have to do something they haven't done yet, though. They have to win a home game. They have to win back-to-back games. They have to string together performances where we don't put the officials in a position to decide the game at the very end. Can't have those fourth quarter turnovers. Can't have lousy shooting nights. Can't have Cade miss a big shot. They have to do those things repeatedly to win a seven-game series. And if they do it tonight, yeah, all the pressure's on the Knicks. They
win
tonight,
them to win.
And I expect them to win the series. Give you what you want. 248-539-9797. The basketball talking point here. Can someone remind JB you don't need to challenge every foul or 50-50 ball in the first half?
Yes, I agree with that. But a lot of that argument is, well, if they had a challenge left, they could have challenged at the end of the game. That's not the case, because there was no foul called. You can't challenge a no call.
Right. You only get the one, though. So
right.
If it's a play where
keep
it's
it in your pocket,
inbounds, out of bounds in a 10-8 game like he did in game four,
just
don't.
I understand. And this goes to what he told us, the value of every possession. He valued that possession so much that he wanted the ball.
But I would use it on a play that results in points or not points at a critical juncture at the end of a run or the start of a run. Or, hey, if it's a guy's fifth foul late in a game.
Agreed,
but
I think it's just a little look into his mindset of what he has preached his players, and we saw it come through in his coaching as well.
And he has their back. I think that's part of it, too, is he wants to set that tone early, but you only have the one. You can't blow it that early, frivolous with it. Ticketexter says they dropped $4,000 on courtside seats tonight. They're pumped. Let's go, Pistons.
Wow.
That's a buy-in right there.
Literally. $4,000 on courtside seats.
So,
I wonder if they're going to be sitting next to Spike.
Who are they going to be sitting next to? Because if you look at some of these games, I mean, what Campbell and Goff and J-Mo were at the last one, AJ and Scoobal at
AJ
the first
not
one.
Available tonight, but...
Yeah, they're other plans. Who's going to be there tonight? This guy and a bunch of you guys.
Yeah, with your earplugs? Because it's going to be loud, right? I mean, when did you have your earplugs the last time?
John, I don't bring earplugs to Pistons games.
Well, it's going to be loud.
Events.
You asked if I was going to have earplugs last night.
And you didn't.
At the AC/DC. No, I'm not. Because
you're a crazy person.
No,
you're
going
to go to a rock
I'm
show
not a
and
geriatric.
Blow out your ear. No, John.
I'm going to go ahead and enjoy the moment, not wear the earplugs, especially on a tether around my neck.
You can call me the P word or whatever else you want, but but actually don't, because I don't want to have to dump it. I want to be able to hear into my 60s and 70s. I go to concerts and have gone to concerts, and I'll wear the little earbuds. You can still hear the songs just fine. You should do it. Ask people who've had hearing loss.
Trust me.
Actually, you won't have to ask. You'll be one of them.
Yeah, my hearing loss, if it happens, is not going to be because of an AC/DC concert. It's just not.
248-539-9797.
Are you a sissy if you wear earplugs?
Or are you a really smart person?
Why buy the tickets?
Because you can go to the show and you still get the vibe. You still get the energy.
Nah, you're old. You're old in a 30-year-old's body. You've aged way beyond your years.
Look, we can turn this into an earplugs debate as well. Jeff in Windsor, good morning. You're on 97.1.
Hey, guys. I expect the Pistons to win tonight. I got my snacks and my drinks already lined up of what I'm going to have tonight. I have a bag of Cool Ranch Doritos and some Ryan Cokes. And enjoy the game, man. I think tonight someone's going to have to, last game it was Thompson that stepped up. There's going to be somebody that needs to step up tonight to get over the 20-point mark, aside from Cade. And at just one point I want to make, too, I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but I've never seen somebody defend someone so effortlessly the way Thompson defends Brunson. Like, his back is vertical. It is just it's incredible to watch him play defense.
It is a lot of fun, especially in a league where you don't see a lot of defense. And you see somebody do it as effortlessly as he does it and as smooth as he does. I agree with you. It's fun to watch.
There's a possibility the Pistons unlocked something in this last game. There's a possibility that what they did with Cade, 13 fourth quarter points, Thompson erasing Jalen Brunson. And who knows, is Brunson still dealing with something? People questioned, is he injured? Is he running out of gas? Whatever it is, they may have unlocked something at the end of game five.
I think it's more likely that he's running out of gas versus, because we've seen him limping around every game, and I don't doubt that he's hurt, but it could just be the wear and tear of the season, the wear and tear of this series that it's playing on him, and whether it's Karl Anthony Towns and maybe having not the same legs in the fourth quarter as he would have in the fourth quarter in game one. Or in game three. Now all of a sudden, hey, it's game six and you've got to get a big bucket. You've worn him down. That's why I think having Asar Thompson in the fourth quarter on Jalen Brunson, making him work just to get the ball.
Yes.
Making him work to get to where he wants that shot. Now all of a sudden, he's just a little bit more tired. And as the clock ticks away, he's not going to get more energy. He's not going to get revitalized. You got to wear him out.
Brunson only had three points in that fourth quarter. That's part of the recipe. Mm-hmm. Now, he is also one of the great fourth quarter scorers in this playoff. And they have Karl Anthony Towns, who the Pistons have had a hard time corralling. And they've tried Duren. They've tried Harris. They can't try Stewart unless he gets the healthy green light. Those two are still a 1-2 punch at the end of the game. Those two were big in games 3 and 4 in Detroit. No, I can't say I expect to win tonight. If they shut them down again, I expect to win the series. Win tonight, win the series.
If they score more, the Pistons score more than the Knicks, I expect them to win.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying they're winning Game 7 in New York. You just got to get there. You're not willing to say that.
No, I'm not. Game 7s are a completely different animal.
Ticket, text, phone calls, it's 97.1. That shot specifically was an announcement. John, I know you've brought that up already this morning. 90-90. Cade, back-to-back buckets and a three at the Garden. Mm-hmm. Backs against the wall, Pistons win.
It was fun to watch, and it was fun because in the series, and whether they ultimately win it or not, this year we've seen Cade take so many steps forward. We've seen this organization take so many steps forward, and it really you kind of believe like the Lions when Brad Holmes was hired and Dan Campbell, like it's the best era of Lions football that I've ever known. Mm-hmm. And I mean, okay, there are a few people that are would compare it to, you know, the 56 World Championship, but there's just not many people around. This is the greatest era. It's not going to be the greatest era of Pistons basketball, But for those that are 20 to 30 years old and maybe don't remember or weren't old enough to enjoy, like, this is the greatest era of Pistons basketball in their life. And it's literally only been 1 year. And they still but the excitement of watching Cade grow up, watching this team develop, the thought of what they could do in the offseason, and Cade hitting a big bucket last night, making a couple of big moments.
He finished with 13 in the fourth quarter, 24 for the game, flirted with another triple-double, and he started slow. I'm going, I don't want to see him go down this way. Because in the first half, he wasn't doing very much.
I think at halftime, he had four or five.
If they lose with a dud of a Cade performance and the season's done, look, it's not a referendum on the season, but it would feel anticlimactic. Now, we get a big game six where you know the city's going to show up, where you know the team's going to play hard. They've played hard in every single game. Mm-hmm. And if you take care of business at home, you put all the anxiety into the Garden. You put all the pressure on the Knicks. Last night was huge. And it's Cade, but it's also Ausar Thompson. They let him play at the end of that game. I know he doesn't give them very much in the way of spacing offensively. No one respects his jumper. But he defends. He hounds the ball. Brunson finished with the worst playoff game he's had in a Knicks uniform. Fewest points, lowest shooting percentage. Those two things go hand in hand. Cade stepping out into the spotlight and Ausar Thompson blocking out the star that is Jalen Brunson.
And this is where you learn about postseason play. This is where you learn about what's possible. What can you do? Because the reason it's hard when you're up 3-1, but it's been a contentious series, right? I mean, the Pistons could easily be up 3-1 going into last night. And it's been a possession at the end of all of these games. When you're down 3-1, and the reason it's hard to finish out a series like this from the Knicks' perspective is the Pistons, they go into that game with nothing to lose.
Right.
You're not expected to win. No one thinks that you're going to win three in a row. And so you're playing not, you know, footloose and fancy free, but you're backed in a corner, you're coming out swinging, and you're going to take more chances than you normally would. And now all of a sudden in that game, in game five, it works.
Yep.
And now all of a sudden, is there something that Cade did in that game where he's like, you know what? I've never had that mindset before. I've never played like that before. I've never taken that shot before. I've done this. And all of a sudden it worked. And now going into game six, he's got a little bit of confidence that I can do those things. And maybe it pays off into game six. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe they force a game seven. Maybe they don't. But then going into next year, taking those lessons, those moments, those feelings, and building on them for next year.
Think about it like this. For a young team, when it clicks, it clicks. We saw it with the Lions, right? When it turned, it turned.
Yeah.
You know, they went from a team where we're going, boy, Dan Campbell's getting some tough questions. I don't know if this is going to work out, right? And then Sheila has to publicly back him. To the end of the season, they're fighting for a playoff spot, and they've won back-to-back divisions. When it flips quick. The Pistons, they were a 14-win team last year. When it flips quick. They tripled their win total. They're in the playoffs right now. They're giving the Knicks everything they've got. And John, I'm not going to proclaim this, but if it flipped last night in terms of that extra playoff gear, game six, you close it out. You're learning how to close out games before our eyes. You close out game six. Maybe Stu does play. Maybe Beef Stew's in game six, or could you imagine a game seven at the Garden? And you end up coming back down 3-1, what it would say about this basketball team who already has turned one corner, but maybe turning another right in front of us.
And you could look at the season as a whole and say, when did it click for this young team? And it was right around Christmas, right? They're on the road at Phoenix, at LA, at Sacramento. They come away with three wins. They lose to Denver, which, okay, it's Denver. But then they start off the new year and they rip off five wins. And now all of a sudden they're developing a confidence. It's a, we can do this moment.
Yeah.
Then you get into the playoffs and, you know, or you triple your win total the regular season. I don't want to minimize that. And you secure a playoff spot. Like, there's certain moments, certain landmarks throughout the course of the season where, as you put it, it just clicks for a young team. And now in the postseason, you kind of felt like in game two, okay, it clicked.
Right.
And it's possession by possession. Your backs are against the wall. and it feels like it clicks again. Can they capitalize on that and take it to the next level?
I think they continue to show you how tough they are, not just like physical basketball. You lose game four at home. You lose back-to-back home games. And then game four ends the way it did. It's really easy to sulk and pout and be the victim. I think we saw a completely different response last night. We saw a tough, mentally tough response from the Pistons last night.
Oh, yeah. I mean, because it could have gone the way of the Heat.
Sure.
Hey, all right. Season's over. Let's just start the off-season. U-Haul's attached. Yeah. Let's get on. Let's move on. And they didn't have any of that, which we didn't think they would.
A lot to talk about with this basketball team. They won't go quietly into the night. Backed against the wall, they win in Madison Square Garden. This series is full of close games, and they're learning to close right before our very eyes. Cade Cunningham, 13 fourth quarter points. Asar Thompson playing the final 7 minutes, clamping down Jalen Brunson. Look, when it turns, when that switch gets flipped, it happens quickly. Maybe happening before our eyes. Did that win get you back on board? Look, you lose back-to-back at home. I think a lot of people thought they were
toast.
Done. Yeah. Are you bought back in? Do you think they're getting this done? Take a text, phone calls, 248-539-9797. And I know it makes game four sting more because they could clinch on Thursday if that goes the other way. But I love how they responded to all of the adversity and all of the issues they had in game four.
This is one of those, hey, you go out and play. Like I mentioned just a few minutes ago, you go out and play, you're backed in a corner. Go out there and force a game seven and see what happens. Go out there and just make the Knicks beat you. Don't do something to beat yourself. Make the Knicks go out there and actually show that they're the better team. And I thought last night, going into Madison Square Garden, in that fourth quarter, Cade playing the way that he did, it really shone a light on the fact that he's the
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The guy that you can build around. He's the Batman.
I'm Batman.
Not the Robin. He's the...
It's one of those talking points, right? Can he be the best player on a title team? And yeah. You learn a lot about a guy in the postseason. Ticket Texture says, slow down on comparing him to Mr. Big Shot. And says he did tank a 15-footer in game 4. He's not there yet. Signed, Mike in Fenton. We'll get to CJ in Belleville. CJ, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Just wanted to shout out our young Pistons, man, for bringing defense and physicality back to the NBA. Last night at the 8-minute mark in the fourth quarter, I think the game was like 81-81. That is real basketball. And it was so much fun to watch. You know, you were locked in. The guys were going back and forth. It was just a great game. And I want to say, you know, Cade Cunningham, phenomenal player. You know, obviously we all like his progression through his career. We also have to keep in mind that, like, this is his first playoff series. Most superstars go through it. I was really happy to see that he put up 14 points in the fourth quarter, because his other four quarters in the past games weren't too productive as far as points. And then last thing, I love J.B. Bickerstaff. I think he's done a phenomenal job. But, man, in the playoffs, you kind of got to do things different. And I love Ron Holland. I love the way he plays, the energy. But you can't put that guy out there. Like, you just can't. He's too high risk, low reward. Every time he's out there, it's a turnover, a bad foul, and it just puts them in a tough situation in there. You know, he's kind of losing possessions when he puts Ron Holland on. You got to go with your dogs, man, especially in an elimination game.
Well, they think he is one of their dogs. I agree. You got to be very careful. You got to be careful. I get your point, CJ, because you're right. In the playoffs, you shorten the bench. And the series, as you get deeper, you shorten it even more. And you lean on guys, and you say, hey, my 5, 6, 7 best players are going to have to play 40 minutes.
Agree. And I agree with you. I think Ron Holland is a dog. He brings a lot of energy to the game. You know, but man, it's just the mistakes and the times that he makes those mistakes. You know, that's my only issue with it. But
I got
what I'm seeing from the Pistons. Hope we pull it out. I think we'll pull out game 6, and I'm still pretty confident we're going to pull this series out. So go Pistons. Thank you, guys.
Appreciate it, CJ.
You know, just to that point, though, somebody's got to be out there. You can't go as far as J.J. Redick did on Sunday. I mean, seriously,
fill people in on this.
Where he played Luka and LeBron, what was it 46 minutes? And they did not make a substitution in the second half, which is absolutely incredible if you think about it. You got to find that breather for these guys if it's the last 30 seconds of a third quarter or something like that into the first minute of the fourth. I get it. Holland hasn't been good, but who's going out there if he isn't? Because somebody's got to go out there and absorb some minutes. You're right about shortening the bench. But, I mean, that's a delicate thing, because that can backfire if the guys are winded and done late in the fourth quarter, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you got to put up with the Holland stuff, because then your guys that perform at the end.
It gets you there. Yeah.
Yeah.
It gets you to the finish line.
It's a tough situation.
Let's get to Ryan in Royal Oak. Ryan, good morning. What's going on?
Hey, good morning, fellas. Love you guys. Great show.
Thanks.
Just wanted to comment on, you know, the game yesterday, and, you know, game 2 was great too, but felt like yesterday was different than game 2. You know, game 2 we kind of controlled, hit a big shot at the end, but this one, the Knicks just kept trying to come back and come back, and this Pistons team, man, they just made shot after shot, stop after stop. I think they showed, you know, the confidence they're building. I really think they're better. They're deeper than the Knicks. And last thing, just Tobias Harris, what he's doing on Towns. You know, let's not forget how hard it is to guard that guy. He's going to put up his numbers, but he seems to be in his head a little bit. He's undersized on him, but he's just a dog out there. He's hitting shots too. So love for him. I think this team can pull it out, particularly hopefully we can hit game 6 and put all the pressure on them in game 7. But if it comes down to game 7, I think this team showed they got what it takes physically and mentally to kind of wear him down and, you know, put their best shot out there and go in and win the whole damn thing. So proud. It was great. I underestimated how happy I'd be this morning when I woke up from that win. And, you know, let's keep rolling. But appreciate it, guys.
Yeah, I think it's a really good point about this team and, like, the significance of this win and how it shifts the series. If you get to a game 7, you've won twice already in New York. Game 7, the pressure's on the Knicks. And the only thing standing in the way from getting to game 7 is a game here in Detroit. Now, they haven't won in Detroit in this series, but they've been in every game in this series. And if they're figuring out how to close games, John, I mean,
Look out.
Pistons and sevens, it's right there.
But now they have to do it back-to-back times because they finished a game, they closed out a game in game two. They've got to figure out how to do that and to do it at home.
But that's a good thing here, John. It's way to perspective of coming back from 3-1. You said, can the Pistons come back from 3-1? I don't know. It seems like a tall task. Jim, you were mentioning yesterday, but they can do it for a day.
Yes.
Well, they did it for a day. Now they don't have to do it back-to-back games. They have to do it for a day. Yeah, and then if they get to game seven, you know how long they have to do it? They have to do it for another game. They have to do it for a game.
Break it up. Yep. It's the only mentality you can have at this point. You don't look at it as winning three in a row. You look at it as winning the next game.
Engineer brain. Just solve the next problem.
Right. And if you're going to be the more desperate team, if you're going to be the more, you know, the Pistons played last night the way they should play, that they're capable of playing, the way that we thought they would play when we both picked them to win this series. Right, that they could win a pivotal game in New York to win this series. They're going to have to do it again and again, but last night may offer up some hope for the fan base. 248-539-9797. Before we get the ticket text, Tony in Ferndale, good morning.
Hey, morning, guys. How's it going today?
Good.
Hey, good. Just want to chime in. You know, I thought game five was an unwinnable game after the Jalen Brunson chance, and game three and four at LCA, I thought the environment at MSG was going to be unbeatable, and the guys went in and got it done. So anything's done with this team, or anything's possible with this team, but, you know, I can't be going without said. I called in last week after a loss in one of those game three or game four, and you guys were saying, hey, let's trade three first-rounders and Jalen Duren and Jaden Ivey for Giannis Antetokounmpo. This is a perfect example of a team with chemistry, working when they need to, making plays in tough environments.
Tony,
you know, is Giannis going to demand the ball in fourth quarter in a game like last night?
Tony, I'd still do that trade.
Yeah, I mean, that's how to make this team better for next year. I mean, that's two different topics. What we're talking about and what you're talking about is this team being able to, you know, rebound. And I think it's a great point too. That's a tough rebound. With the way they lost in game four, it was deflating. It was crushing. They had to get over that to be able to win in Madison Square Garden where that place was going nuts.
And Tony, I think they're two, to John's point, two different conversations. If the Pistons advance, and feel optimistic after last night, if the Pistons do pull this off, they will face harsher realities in the second round of the playoffs. And you may be looking at it going, yeah, I'd love to add a Giannis to this basketball team. I think we're ahead of ourselves because you're right, the series isn't over and we are seeing this team grow up before our eyes, but there is a ceiling on this. And that's why those Giannis and Booker conversations will end up coming up later in the summer, because this team's not going to win at all. And you're going to have that honest conversation about how you get better. Some ticket text 248-539-9797. It's the Knicks 3-point shooting against the Pistons defense. If the shooting goes cold, the Pistons win. The Knicks have made some huge shots at times in this series.
They have, and it's been Karl Anthony Towns that's made a lot of those big threes.
For the first time in the series, Brunson looked tired. It's a long physical series, and now the rest is short between these final games. Advantage Pistons, signed Brian. It's a good note. Brunson seemed like he was struggling at the end of the game. In fact, was out the last couple minutes sitting on the sideline. Might have been in pain, bent over backwards. He says, I'm curious to know if the physicality might be taking its toll on him. And a texter brings up bad clock management at the end of the game. I don't know specifically what they're referring to, but I thought the Knicks needed to get Brunson in the game. They needed to take a timeout and get him back out there. Maybe Brunson is running out of gas here.
Well, I mean, we talked about it going into the series. Their starting five is who they've been riding with. And they've been doing it throughout the playoffs. Is it taking a toll? Because he is dinged up. And, I mean, he goes off limping at some point in every single game.
Yeah. Last game, hats off
to him for continuing to play at a high level. But is the wear and tear going to cost them at the end of this series? And the Pistons have to make it.
One thing I'm going to be really curious about is JB made the adjustment we talked about. Asar Thompson closing out the game.
I appreciate him listening.
I'm sure that's why it was. He's driving around in the morning. An epiphany.
Yeah.
Streaming us from New York. You know what I'm going to do with those guys said? No, I think this was just an obvious, you got to try something. You're facing elimination. Go down with your best defender on the floor in the fourth quarter. This team is a defense first team. They're not going to score a ton in the half court. If you can get stops, you can get easy buckets. I loved that counterpunch to put Asar out there, and I want to see it the rest of the series. The Knicks will try to adjust. And if they can't adjust in game six, John, if the Pistons get to game seven, I think they're winning this. So it makes game six.
We'll
game
discuss
six
that.
Becomes that game to win the series.
We'll discuss that on Friday.
Okay.
I'm not going there.
You don't want me to.
I am excited about the potential, the possibility, but let's focus on game six. Let's focus on getting a win at the LCA.
The Pistons are in the playoffs, and their season could end tonight, John. How do you think this plays out? Is it over after losing two straight at home? Are you going to hold out hope?
I'm holding out hope that they are able to win a game, that we do get a game six back at the LCA. I don't know how likely it is, but I don't know that there's any Pistons fans are going to say, no, they have zero chance.
Every game has been competitive in this
series.
Unless you're Stoney. Well, he said Knicks in five, and he's staring down
the barrel.
Yeah, exactly. The receipts of that one. Every game has been competitive. Every single one of them. It would not shock me if the Pistons won the game tonight. Then you get game six at home, and then the whole series is on the line. But in doing that, you'd have to win three straight in this series. And while I said Pistons in seven, it's not how I thought it was going to go down, John. I think the odds are no longer in their favor. I think we can say that much.
Yes.
If they're going to go down, I'd like them to go down swinging tonight. And I don't mean literally. Something I'd love to see from the Pistons is more Asar Thompson. And this is going to be a little bit dependent on how it's officiated, because he can pick up fouls in bunches. But their best lineups, and there's so much data out there now, I'm not going to bore people with it, but the Pistons' best lineups feature Asar Thompson. As bad as he is in the half court, as poor a shooter as he is, as much as he hurts some of their spacing, this team runs in transition, and it starts on defense. And Brunson has had a much tougher time when Asar is in the game. I'd like to see more than 30 minutes of Asar Thompson in this game. Play statistically your best lineups, lean on your defense, look for transition, live with the fact that he's not a great shooter. I get it. Half court, you're going to really struggle, and that's probably why this team isn't going to go on a deep run. Well, but I'd like to see him go down playing the young guy too, because then at least you see how far away you truly are. I don't need to see a combination of Schroeder, Beasley, and Hardaway all out there at the same time.
With Asar Thompson, at some point you're going to be stuck in the half court.
Yeah.
And it becomes a liability. But on the flip side, if you see a little bit more of him and you get a little bit more transition, a little bit more fast break because of the defense that he plays, and maybe a little bit less Jalen Brunson, now, I mean, there's that fine line between being able to create something because you do something special defensively versus being limited offensively. And I mean, it's another six fouls that you get to use against Jalen Brunson. It's another, you know, it's just another way to harass him. It doesn't do anything against, you know, about having Karl Anthony Towns. But when you're trying to just make something happen for one night, and that's all they've got to think about right now. One night.
Extend
just
the series.
Find to get a way to get a win. Take care of game six if that becomes a possibility. But if you don't take care of tonight, then it's all said. It's all done.
So the NBA the playoff lineups that are the best net rating, the Pistons have one of the best playoff lineups this postseason. It's Cade, Tim Hardaway Jr., Asar Thompson, Tobias Harris, and Jalen Duren. They're a plus 19.2 in net rating. That is the fifth best of any playoff team. That lineup should play a lot, and specifically in crunch time. And if you win...
Of the other four, is there a Knicks combination
there? No, there's not. There's a Pacer, Clipper, Cav, and oddly enough, the Timberwolves have a lineup that has actually been the best of any lineup in the postseason. If you win this game, does Stewart play game six? The crowd's going to be ready game six. Can you get to game six?
Yeah.
And again, the question will be, can this team close? They've had fourth quarter leads in three of the four games in this series. It would suggest that it is there for them every night they show up. And if the light bulb goes off and they do close out one of these games, you're getting closer and closer and closer to a Knicks meltdown. But I want to make sure we say this. The Knicks meltdown I thought was going to happen has not happened, and Karl Anthony Towns deserves a ton of credit for that.
Oh, yeah. There's no question. Same with Jalen Brunson.
Yeah.
But and the equation may be, hey, you've got to find a way to get up in that third quarter, go into the fourth quarter, and then you see a little bit more Asar Thompson, because what's been the one thing in all of these losses that have really cost them? It's been losing those leads. So if you can find a way to harass Jalen Brunson at the end of the game, if you can find a way to play better defensively, again, some point you're going to be stuck in the half court and you're going to – there's a liability. And it's when do you want to pull those triggers? This is the – can we call it the Asar Thompson chaos? Like the pitching chaos we have with the Tigers? Like there's going to need to be some lineup chaos for JB in when to use him, when not to use him. And the mixing and matching of the lineups.
Yeah, I think Bickerstaff's done a great job. We made the case for him to win Coach of the Year. The turnaround, it doesn't happen without his leadership and his guidance. The biggest criticism I would have of him, though, would be these closeouts without Asar. And it goes back to the end of the regular season where they would not have this guy out there to close games. And it's a pick your poison. I get it. Offensively, he can stand in the corner and no one respects him. I mean, he'll airball corner threes.
Yeah.
So not ideal. Him and Duren on the floor at the same time, neither of them can make a shot outside the paint. The world starts to collapse on you in the half court because it's Cade staring down a clogged paint all over again. But the trade-off is I'm getting stops, I'm hanging in, I can get a transition bucket, and you'd still look for mismatches. Where is Brunson? Hunt Brunson. He's going to be on the floor in the fourth quarter, and maybe it's ugly, it's rugged, it's not a recipe to win an NBA championship, but is it a recipe to extend the series by a game, get Isaiah Stewart back in the mix and keep fighting? Yeah. I mean, but if you ask the question, is the series over? No, the series is not over. The
series is not over, but I'm curious as to what people will be watching tonight. Are you tuned in or are you tuned out?
Oh, well, we know you're going to be watching Reese Olsen.
Okay, that's what I'm doing. But this is, if you don't believe that they've got a chance to win tonight, if you don't believe that they can extend it to a six game, why would you watch? And I'm just curious where people are.
Yeah,
we can ask it. Are you willing to watch and make yourself vulnerable tonight knowing that the season could be over?
Texter says basketball equals ZZZZZZZ, putting him to sleep.
Yeah.
And the season, I mean, maybe in his eyes, already over. Didn't start if you're not a basketball fan. You're excited with the Tigers and the Astros. I know where your focus is going to be tonight.
Well, and I mean, if you were listening to, you know, Dan before the game in the pregame, there was an energy when they got to whatever they call they've renamed the park there in Houston.
It's not Minute Maid anymore.
No,
it's something else.
Dakin Field?
Is that what it is? Yeah, I think that's what he said. Anyway, you can't forget about what happened last year in the postseason. You can't forget about the history that AJ, I think there's still motivation for AJ to get wins there. Not that he's not as motivated to win against other teams, but this one is unique. This one's special. And I do think we will see something, a continuation of what we saw from Reese Olsen when we were down at the ballpark last Wednesday.
He was really good, and he can build on it tonight. Dakin Park is what it's called. And Dakin is an air conditioning company to bring us full circle with the way we started the show today.
And we're back where we began.
58 degrees tonight at the ballpark.
Yeah, Tigers Angels. Maybe Javi will make another great catch and hit another home run tonight. We'll talk about that coming up later in the program. Who said it coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, 248-539-9797. All right, as promised. Mike Breen is the play-by-play voice for ABC and ESPN when they have the national games. When he's not doing the national game, he's the play-by-play voice of the New York Knicks, and he has been for years. And when he does Knicks games on national television, he is right down the middle. He doesn't show any bias. He had a great call, the final shot last night with it was a double bang, bang, bang with Brunson. But he also echoed something on the air that I have echoed on our Restore the Floor podcast and on the air a few times where I've filled in about Pistons coach J.B. Bickerstaff, who I think has done an incredible job. Deserves to be coach of the year. He's been great. But JB has a little problem. And last night, that problem cost the Pistons a point. He got another technical foul. Here's Mike Breen on JB Bickerstaff during the game last night. And it's true. I've talked to people there, you know, people who are at the scorer's table, you know, constantly. And I've noticed it from afar when I've been there. I said, look, I've been covering the Pistons since Chuck Daly. I've never seen a Pistons coach bark at the officials and sometimes other players as much as he does. And I was worried that it would cost them something during a playoff game. And you can argue whether 1 point in a couple of games is that important. I think it is. And I think that's one thing. You know, the players have to get better, Rico, during the offseason. I think JB has to get a little better, too. And now I'm not even talking about the strategy and the stuff that we talked about.
You can't wake up every morning and choose violence. You can't just wake up every morning and just be angry. It's just like, buddy, have a cup of coffee, get some toast, get some juice, go take a little walk, you know, play with the dog. Whatever you got to do to get you set back to zero.
Yeah.
You can't wake up every day and just choose violence.
I believe he led the league in technical fouls by coaches this year. And it's just, he did it the same thing in Cleveland. You just have to, like, let things simmer down a little bit, you know? Chill.
Yeah.
Every call, and that's part of the reason why I think he challenges too much too early in games sometimes. Like when it was 10-8 on the other night.
No, because he makes everything personal. And it's just like, okay, it's good until it's not. The team picks up and they are basically what they see, a reflection of their coach.
They love him.
But after a while, your team is going to say, okay, we need to complain like you complain. And now, even if it is your call, you're not going to get it because I'm sick of you.
Yeah.
You know what, Stoney? I've been listening to you cuss me out and MF me all day. So you know what? You get nothing.
That's the thing. I know we want the refs to be impartial. We want them to make the right call when there's a call. But when you're constantly berating the ref, I've always been told, and I teach my kids this when they play sports. Yes, things aren't going to go your way, but be nice to the ref. Be nice during the game, before the game, because it just may help you later on. This is not going to help you later on.
No, it's not going to help you get other calls. Let's go to Xander. You're on 97 on the ticket. What's up, Xander?
How you doing?
Good.
How you doing?
Good, hey. Xander.
Hey, I just wanted to call in on an acquisition the Pistons should think about considering. And I think it hasn't been brought up yet, but I'm really all for it, honestly.
Okay.
I think the Toronto Raptors, Scotty Barnes, I think a big power forward like Scotty, right, you could give up Isaiah Stewart and Ivy and a couple of firsts, and you pick him up, and he's already a bona fide star. And I think that you can make that deal happen without anybody really complaining.
Oh, he's a really good player. I mean, he won Rookie of the Year when he came out. But I don't see Toronto wanting to trade him, though. Do you?
I just looked at it and it was like, they need a point guard. And maybe Ivy is that fit. And I think Stewart might be a good pick for them or a good take for them. And I don't know. I just thought of it and figured I'd call in.
He is due an extension after this season, which would get him $225 million.
Yeah.
So do you really want to do that?
Yeah. And here's the other thing with the trades that we're talking about. And it's fun conversation. I don't think anybody is going to make anything happen until we see what happens next Monday when the lottery. Because whoever wins the Cooper Flag sweepstakes is not going to be on the trading. They're not going to be wanting to trade anything.
I'm sorry. I stand corrected. He received it already.
Okay.
So it just started this season.
Yeah. They're not trading him.
No.
No doubt. Let's go to Mike. You're a 97 on the ticket.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
So I think when it comes to the Pistons, I think there's a lot of options. I think that there's like three players you have to hold on to. Obviously, Cade and Assur and Holland, the young wings that can defend. You can't start Assur and you can't start Durin in the same lineup because neither of them can shoot well enough. And the old guys, the veterans, they're role players. They're like bench guys on a contending team. So this thing still has some great resources that it's been founded on with a culture that it's been founded on. But besides that, everything else can go. And then you can replace that with actually players and get you to the next level. Because like getting to the first round next year is not enough. Like getting to the conference finals is at like the minimum goal. You got to actually like follow that with steps forward. You can't just tread water in the same spot.
I tend to agree with you on that. And the East is going to be really funky in the next few years because teams like Orlando, I think, is only going to get better. Washington, especially if they win the lottery, they're only going to get better. So the Pistons, you know, I wouldn't say there's a short window because they're still a really young team. But there are teams like Milwaukee, especially what happens to Giannis, you know, they are going to go down. Miami, they look like they're in a heap of trouble for the way their roster's constructed right now. Let's go to Joe. You're on 97 on the ticket. What's up, Joe?
How you guys doing?
Good.
All right, first of all, I want to say super proud of the Pistons. That turnaround was epic. I mean, never seen anything like that in sports history. But, yeah, we got to capitalize on what we got going. So I was thinking that we would trade Jaden Ivey, since we almost got out of the first round without him, Isaiah Stewart, and a first round for Zion Williamson.
We discussed that. It fits in the trade machine, doesn't it, Rico?
It does.
Yeah. But here's the thing, Joe. You realize that the Trajan Langdon was working for the New Orleans Pelicans for the last 4 or 5 years. If he knows all the warts of Zion Williamson and thinks it would work here, I think they make that trade. If not, it's because he knows it won't work, because he knows him better than anybody here.
Yeah, that's true.
Yep. So we will wait with bated breath like everyone else, yeah. Right? All right, the telephone number is 248-539-9797. Coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, we will have another edition of Who Said It? 97 won the ticket. Yeah, his best game of the series, no doubt about it. He had 25 points, 11 for 16 from the field in 44 minutes. He played more than any other player in that game. A guy that people were questioning him big time. But they'll be lucky if that series doesn't go 4 games. Celtics should kill them.
I mean, they should, Stoney, but...
I know, it's sports.
I was about to say. And a lot of people said the Pistons had no chance in this series.
Yeah.
And they had a chance in 6 games.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, you didn't represent at home. And that can't be overlooked as well. Crowd was there. Crowd showed up. Thundersticks, Mason, everything just didn't get it done.
Yep. Because Nick was there. What's up, Nick?
What's up, man?
How are you?
How's it going? Good, good. Well, I'm all right, but, man, last night I had a headache coming home. I mean, I've been to the championship when they won their original Bad Boys in the second, and that place last night was one of the loudest I've been at. I've been at a couple Miami Heat championship run games when I lived in Florida, but last night was crazy. It was, I mean, the fans brought it, great atmosphere. And then there's a couple things, like I didn't understand why Asor only played 25 minutes when he was the only guy actually going to the basket and attacking aggressively. To me, when Cunningham attacked it last night, it was like, okay, I'm looking maybe to pass or dish. I mean, he missed 2 bunnies in the last 4 minutes of that game.
Yep.
You got to make those.
Superstars make superstar plays. They're supposed to come out in their biggest games. He didn't last night.
No, and, you know, I'm looking at it. New York's got guys that can create off the dribble, shoot, and I think we maybe got one guy that does that. Like, you know, Hardaway was playing awful until he made those 5 shots. Like, he just can't create off the dribble. Next year, I know, basically, to me, it's you're paying him 4 years for $75 million. You got to get an upgrade there.
They're not paying Hardaway. Hardaway's not on a 4-year contract. He's a free agent.
He's expiring deal.
It's expiring. It's expiring, yes.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying is we got to definitely get an upgrade there.
Yes, and you need you need a big guy who can shoot from the outside. It's the way the league is. If he wasn't so old, somebody like Brook Lopez would be really good, but he's 37, I think 37, 38 years old. And
might as well bring back Abdul-Jabbar. Lopez? Wow.
Well, I said if he wasn't that age.
I mean, you know. Somebody like everybody. Hey,
somebody
look,
like that.
LeBron getting it done.
Yeah, just found out that he actually tore an MCL, PCL or something. So if they
play.
Won the game, that he wouldn't have played this week.
Yeah, you know what? He's tough. He would have still played.
He's not, if not, he would have put in Bronny. And I emphasize the word he. Howard, you're on 97 on the ticket.
Yeah, hey, guys. You know, this is a young team. And there's no question that it's a fourth quarter choking team. So, Stoney, I disagree with you when you said that, you know, it didn't bother you that he challenged that foul. I think the Knicks at that point were deflated. I think they were tired. I think they were wallowing a little bit.
That's a great point.
It took, you know, it gave them a chance to, you know, take a breather and come back and, you know, get it together. And at that point, you know, you do that, you rest everybody, and then they gained more energy and they went at it.
That is a great point. I was looking at it more, you know, for the fact some of his other challenges were on plays that I didn't think were close, and they were really early in the game. Like the game before when he challenged it was a 10-8 score. But I thought last night, at least because it was 2.5 minutes left in the game, 2 minutes left in the game, at least the timing of it was not horrible. But you, Matt, it's a great point. It gave the Knicks some time to rest.
Yeah, the challenge.
Right,
yeah.
And this is a young team, and they've fourth quarter choked in most of these games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were ahead. You're right. They could have won. They maybe should have won. But I don't know. I just thought it was deflating, and it took the
Howard. I was thinking the same thing.
From the young guys.
Howard, I was thinking the same thing because I was just like, okay, you're not going to win this challenge, so why are you doing? I would have held on to it just in case I needed something controversial in the last 30 seconds.
But like, they need to change that rule. That's a whole different argument for another day.
Exactly. The last 30 seconds, because on the last challenge, you know, I think he should have learned from his mistake. If we would have had that other challenge in that game, we you know, it might have been a tie series.
Which play are you talking about?
The one where he challenged it when in the other game.
No, I know the one. Which game did you? Which play that you wish he had a challenge left that he didn't?
The last play of the game when
you can't challenge a non-call. That wouldn't have made a difference one way or the other. What they should do is have an NFL system where they get called from up above and say, hey, there was a foul on that. Let's look at it.
Yeah, at the caucus where they're looking at everything.
Right.
Yes.
Look, I've been tough on that Bickerstaff. That was irrelevant. He couldn't have challenged it whether he had a challenge or not.
I do wish the NBA would change the challenge rule, though. Mm-hmm. They only get one a game.
Yeah.
And if you win it, you get a second. But I wish they would get one each half.
He did win. Oh, he did win one last night, though.
He did.
Okay, what we will have to do is then to put it on a clock because I got to agree with Howard. Like, it helped the Knicks.
Yeah.
Because it was like five, it was an extended
TV timeout.
It took
a long time, yeah.
For them to see this, it was like, okay, so what are we doing here? We're arguing, like, he got fouled. But it was like he just wanted to use it. It's like you could have held on to this in case you really needed it. I got to agree with the call. I thought I was the only one that saw it. I was like, that was kind of pointless. Like, the Knicks really was sitting over there like, okay, we get a little bit of a break here.
Yeah, but the Knicks also had a challenge that didn't make any sense to me. They were trying to get the foul.
And that's the thing. Like, guys, if you're not going to use these challenges correctly, then don't waste our time. Well, yeah, Josh was a heart. He didn't throw him to the floor. Yes, he did. He grabbed him first. Doesn't matter.
But
he
it took
threw him
so,
to the ground.
It took so long because they had already reviewed the hostile act.
Right.
And said, now we got to go back because the Knicks are challenging if Hart got fouled.
Yeah. I mean, the challenge that worked,
The challenge that worked, I didn't think actually worked because I'm like, well, he's kind of touching Bronson as he's falling. That's technically a foul. Now, they got it negated. I was like, okay. I thought he got lucky on that one because it was like, that was actually a foul. But sure.
Yeah,
at this point, everything looks bad in slow-mo.
Yeah, it's true because there's slight – now they have to figure out how much influence it had on the play.
You know what? At this point, 60-second clock. I mean, just go. I mean – you got 60 seconds to figure out, you know what? Are we overturning this or not? NFL, baseball, you name it. 60 seconds. Because if you can't decide by then, play on.
Let's go to John. You're 97 on the ticket.
Hello. Hey, hi, guys. Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment about the turnover situation. I mean, we've been talking about it a lot, but you remember the very first offensive play of the game for the Pistons?
I got it right in front of me. Yes, they do, actually.
It was a turnover.
Yeah.
And how did the game end?
On a turnover. Yeah.
And that's who we are. We're young. We're sloppy. But I do think we will get better. But we got to hang on to that ball. We just gave it away so many times.
They don't cherish possessions. You have to
check,
and that's the biggest. And they actually talked about it after the game. Kate talked about the one thing they think they learned, how every possession in the playoffs matters. It really does.
Absolutely.
And you know, hopefully,
we played like that the whole series.
Yes.
And I think that's why it was close. If we hadn't turned the ball over, we could have won in four or five games.
Well, what's interesting is last night the Knicks actually had one more turnover than the Pistons did. But what's depressing is the total rebounds. The Knicks out-rebounded the Pistons by 7. That shouldn't happen. Shouldn't happen at all. Let's say hello to Josh here at 97 on the ticket.
Hey, good afternoon, gents. How are we doing?
Good.
Hey. So I just wanted to chime in on the Pistons conversation here and hopefully make a little cross-sport Detroit frustration reference that makes sense to other folks as well.
Okay.
You know, this whole season, Cade's been on this superstar, just kind of teeter totter whether or not people think he's broken out. And, you know, I've kind of rolled my eyes at it. I don't like the turnovers. And I think, especially in the playoffs, he seemed a little gun shy and hesitant. And I was just more frustrated. And it's some of the same frustration I share with some other Detroit sports stars, like Larkin, for instance. We always look at Larkin and, you know, in big moments, we expect more from him or more of that killer instinct. And unfortunately, the taste I have in my mouth after this series is that, that Cade, you know, as good as he may have been during the regular season, if you want to be that star, you want to be the superstar of the team, you can't be bouncing one off the heel of the basket game four. You know, you can't be turning the ball over. You got to make damn sure that your team's in the right spot to win. So,
yeah, you're correct. It's an interesting analogy, but I think that Cade, you know, hopefully he'll learn from, you know, a lot of times this happens. Guys in their first playoffs, they don't do as well and they come back later and succeed in the playoffs. Hopefully that'll be happening with Cade.
Yeah.
Larkin was in the playoffs so early in his career, one season. It's like, it's tough to judge. He doesn't even know what a playoff is.
It may be a little bit of a stretch,
yeah,
you know, for an analogy here. But when I'm a big hockey fan, big basketball fan, and it's just that feeling of frustration I have in my gut is very similar, I'd say, at this point. And, you know, I'm glad they played a hard series. I hope they learned something from it. But overall, I think Detroit expected a little bit more, you know, from the guys this series. And hopefully next year they live up to it a little bit more. But you guys have a great day, great Friday, and hope you all have a great weekend.
Thank you very much. Appreciate the call. You know, I love when they do cross sports things. I wish you could, in a weird way, you know what? We will trade you Cade Cunningham to the Raptors and the Maple Leafs give us Austin Matthews.
Oh.
Wouldn't that be cool if you could do that?
I guess, especially if it's owned by the same person.
Oh, yeah.
Like the Illich family could actually, we had two sports. We could.
Would you trade Jahmyr Gibbs in a draft choice to the Blue Jays for Vlad Jr.? That would be unbelievable. All right, 97 won the ticket. Yeah. Good afternoon. It is the Valenti and Rico Show. I'm Stoney in for Mr. Valenti. We got Kenny Cott, the Hatchet Man, David Hull. Rico, I know you're a lot more professional than I am, but I got to tell you something, because I'm more of a fan of this team than you are. I am pissed. And I'm not pissed that they lost in six games per se. I'm pissed that they lost in six games the way it went down. And in particular, what happened last night was, I hate to use the C word, they choked. They choked out of the get-go and they showed no energy early. They had a nice, amazing comeback to like make it reasonable at the end of the half. And then they came out in the third quarter. I don't know what J.P. Bickerstaff said to them at halftime. That didn't work because the Knicks built up a big lead. But they went on that 20-2 run and were up 7 points with 2 minutes and 35 seconds left to play. In game six, it appeared that they were going to force a game seven in Madison Square Garden. They choked. Not only did many of the players choke, the coaches choked too. And that doesn't take anything away from the amazing job that Jalen Brunson did down the stretch, like he always does. And he didn't have to get hurt in the fourth quarter to come back to do it either.
No. Stoney, here's the thing. It's upsetting, but I guess I'm not as upset because I didn't expect them to win this series.
Well, neither did I. You know that.
But this is there's only a handful of times in sports where, and it sounds bad, I'm okay with the moral victory. When you win 14 games the previous year and you make this dramatic of an improvement, what I'm hoping that they did was learn from this. This will be the only time this will be acceptable. This will be the only time that I'm not going to be like you and blow a gasket, okay? Because you had, of all the games that you played, you had all six of them at one point.
Yes.
You could have won this thing in four. You could have swept them. You played well enough, but throughout each game, game one, they go on a 21-0 run. You have to learn how to play a full 48. You have to learn how to play together and not turn the ball over. I thought it was fitting that their final play this season was a turnover.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was like, you know what? That right there was a microcosm of this entire series where the game was on the line. Game was on the line in what, game four? Cade misses the shot. You know who didn't miss the shot last night? Brunson.
Yeah.
Nails the three.
It was a great play.
So I'm not as upset as you because I look at whether this is the only year that I'll be this way. Mm-hmm. From here on out, Trajan Langdon has to make improvements. That team that we saw last night can't be the same team that you run it back with.
No.
You've got to make some changes.
No, it's so obvious they need what they need. They need a stretch four, if you want to call him, a big guy who can actually shoot from further away than Jalen Duren can. And that's no, you know, Jalen Duren played very well in the series for the most part. But he's limited. If you're going to take that next step, you need that other player. And who that's going to be, who the hell knows. But they have to address it. But when you look back, the reason I'm really upset with Bickerstaff, and first let me say, he deserves Coach of the Year. He's done a fabulous job in turning this thing around. He really has. He's been a great coach. But in these playoffs, and, you know, Evan and I do the Restore the Floor podcast. And during the season, we talked about even that, you know, people have told me that, he bitches more than any other coach in the league. And I was worried. We had assistant vice president of basketball ops, Michael Blackstone, on the pod, and we said, you know, we were talking about JB, and I was kidding around. I said, you got to say something to him because I don't want technical foul to, like, cost you a playoff game. Now, it's only 1 point, but he got another stupid technical in the first half of the game yesterday. That point, like, they lost by three, but the game could have, I don't know. But the strategy.
Well, I mean, down, but Sonny, if you think about it, that point, you don't have to shoot a three. K could have drove to the basket and got an and one.
You're right. What bothers me the most about the coaching last night was two things. Number one and foremost, you're up by five, 110-105. And he takes Ausar Thompson out of the game. Ausar Thompson was playing terrific defense on Brunson in the fourth quarter. In fact, in that fourth quarter, when he was the prime defender of Brunson, Brunson went like 1-for-5 or 1-for-6, the one being the game-winning shot. But he pulled him out, and I don't know. Look, we know he's had health things. Maybe he was fatigued. I don't know. From what I've understood, I did some investigating last night at the game. It had nothing to do with any health deal. But it just makes no sense to me that you sub him with 3:52 left in the game. He's a young guy. He didn't play a huge amount of minutes either. You're up five. You sub him out. And then you actually go up another 2 points when Hardaway made the shot. And then from then, when it's, you're up seven with 2:35 left, Brunson driving floater with the bat with the and one after the challenge failed, which I have no problem with them challenging that one because it was late enough in the game to take a chance. So now they're up four. Then Brunson, after another miss, a miss alley oop by Duren, Brunson scores again, makes it 112-110. Then he puts him back in. He puts him, so he sat for 2.5 minutes. And in those 2.5 minutes, Brunson scored 5 points. Whether he would have or wouldn't have, I don't know. But you can't, I that made no sense to me. And then on the final play, I know every, you know, Brunson's really smart. He knows that they're going to shade him left. So he kind of knew that's what he was going to do, was, you know, and go back to his right. And he made a great move. Great move. I don't know. To me, wouldn't you like do what the Knicks did to Cade Cunningham in that situation? You don't let Brunson get the ball. You double him, make it much difficult. And if you know what, if he's going to pass the ball to a wide open Deuce McBride, I'll take my chances. If Deuce McBride's going to hit a three to win the game, I'll live with that.
I mean, Brunson's shot had shades of Byron Russell. Oh, Jordan, yes. Where he just kind of shoved him to the side.
Yeah. Not as physical, but yes.
So I was like,
it was great.
All right. He just went sliding like, wow. Yeah. Okay. Open three. And double he just
him.
Nailed it.
Double him. You don't want him to beat. You don't want their best player to beat you. That bothered me. And but because Asar Thompson, I mean, he's going to live with this. He's a young player, but he played terrific defense on him most of the game.
But see, I think that they probably took him out of the game, Stoney, to get a little more offense to score more points, because
I know that's why they
because Rod, I don't have if I'm Tibbs, I'm not guarding him. I'm gonna leave him wide open. And if he hits a three or if he hits a basket, you live with that. But I think if you're the Pistons, you're like, okay, it backfired on you. We have to continue scoring because, you know, they're not dead yet, and they weren't. No. They found a way. The 11-1 run, it shocked me. I was like, they really went on an 11-1 run to end the game.
Yeah.
Because it looked as if the crowd was into it. The game was over. And, yeah, we're going to game seven Saturday night in New York. And, okay, well, Brunson gets the and one. Ah, you'll still find it. Okay, you missed that. And then he hits the three. I mean.
And then when he missed the shot, Bridges came out of nowhere with a great tip in to tie the game.
And if you took it, even if you took it to overtime, you know, which color was already, Cat was already out of the game.
Which actually, in a weird way, helped them, because if Cat was on the floor when Cade was driving, he wouldn't have defended him as good as Mitchell Robinson did. Yeah. They actually benefited in a weird way by having Carl Anthony Towns out of the game at that time. It's just upsetting. If they would have got like blown out last night, I wouldn't have been as upset. But when you're up seven with under 3 minutes to play, you expect to win the game at home.
You lost all the games at home.
And by the way, speaking of home, the last five, if I'm doing my math correctly, the last five home playoff games in this town were 0-5. The three against Pistons, the Lions, and the last Tiger game that they lost to Cleveland. At home, they lost. They set it to game five in Cleveland.
So it's your fault, Detroit. 248-539-9797.
The crowd was great. I'm not blaming the crowd, but it's kind of weird. We talk about
like you blaming the crowd. You blaming Detroit or Stoney?
No, I'm just blaming the whole home field advantage didn't work. The last
crowd
calendar
did everything.
Year.
Crowd did everything, yes, in all did. Of those games. It, you know what? The players came up short, and it's why I'm not going to get angry. I'm not going to get upset because you won 14 games. You took a major step forward. You were very competitive in this. And Stoney, maybe it's like with the other Pistons teams, you had to go through the fire.
Hopefully, that's right. Hopefully, you're correct.
You had to go through the fire to realize, you know, this is what playoff basketball is about. Because you could talk about it all you want. Because I remember before the series, like, oh, well, you know, they beat the Knicks three out of four times. Like, it's regular season. It's not the same.
Yes, we did the show. We tried to educate people.
And now I think the Pistons and the fans realize it is a difference. You got a good team. You're a player away from being a great team.
Our telephone number is 248-539-9797. We'll take your phone calls, your texts. Don't forget Who Said It coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. 97 won the ticket.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.